Letters.
On Somalia, Democracy in America, Shirley Conrad, Large Language Models, Beethoven's Ninth, and TV Comedy.
Somalia by the numbers.
From Shamake Farah, Director General, National Bureau of Statistics, Mogadishu. Somalia does indeed face significant challenges on climate change, conflict and governance. Article Somalia's never-ending crisis, May 18th. But your assertion that almost all statistics in the country, including population estimates, should be taken as guesswork, overlooks the significant strides we have made in our statistical capabilities. The latest World Bank Global Statistical Performance Indicators, which measure things like data use and services, showcases a monumental leap for Somalia, from a score of 19.6 out of 100 in 2019 to 48.4. This progress is not mere guesswork, but a testament to our commitment to data accuracy and reliability. In 2022, Somalia conducted a high-quality household budget survey with World Bank support, which had minimal outliers and covered the entire country. This effort has resulted in the establishment of a comprehensive poverty and inequality report. Furthermore, we are planning to conduct a population and housing census in 2025. Accurate and reliable data are crucial for effective governance and development. Although Somalia's challenges are real and pressing, it is essential to acknowledge and support the progress being made in building a robust statistical foundation.
Neglected civic virtues.
From Frank Robinson, Albany, New York. Your discussion on Is America Dictator-Proof? Article May 18th missed the point. It isn't about checks and balances, or what a re-elected Donald Trump might try to get away with. America's real problem is that too few citizens understand and internalize its founding principles and ideals. If they did, they would never dream of voting for Mr. Trump. The Constitution itself, without such understanding from the people, is a hollow shell, and democracy cannot ultimately be sustained against all the societal forces inimical to it. That's the real meaning behind Benjamin Franklin's line, "A republic, if you can keep it."
From Fabio Acerbi, Heidelberg, Germany. Kurt Gödel, a famous logician, found an inconsistency in the American Constitution that allowed for a dictatorship to arise legally. Gödel never revealed what this loophole was. F. E. Guerra-Pujol speculated that it is the amending power in Article 5 and the logical possibility of self-amendment. What then prevents the creation of a legalistic or constitutional dictatorship, such as rule by decree, by one of the branches of government?
From Kevin Dunn, Dieburg, Germany. As a retired lieutenant colonel, I can confirm that the armed forces take their oath to support and defend the US Constitution as solemn and unbreakable. There are indeed dangers to our democracy, but the army would not permit a dictator to gain a foothold in violation of the Constitution, which has served our country well for nearly 250 years.
From Mark Evers, Lake Oswego, Oregon. Lord Woodhouse Lee, a British historian from the 18th and 19th centuries, observed that democracies are not permanent and evolve into dictatorships. Two primary factors that drive this are loose fiscal policy, driven by the increased demands of citizens and the loss of public and private virtue. On fiscal policy, America's national debt has increased fivefold over the past two decades. On the second factor, the Journal of Democracy's April issue has a piece entitled America's Crisis of Civic Virtue. America may be headed into a dictatorship. The more important question is, what kind of dictatorship?
Queen of the Bonkbuster.
From Katrina Clear, Galway, Ireland. The obituary of Shirley Conran, May 18th, made me want to read Lace again and no doubt some enterprising publisher will bring out a special edition of the novel for all of us 60-somethings who remember it fondly. I hope there won't be some ponderous introduction underlining its cultural significance. It was just a bit of fun. Let's not get carried away. Superwoman, on the other hand, was not about making housework easier for anybody, except women who were used to having paid help and had to do without it. Running a house in the mid-1980s, I was given the book and was baffled by most of the advice in it. Conran's standards were very high for somebody who said she'd rather sit on a sofa than clean under it. And life is too short to stuff a mushroom makes sense only if you know that mushrooms can be stuffed. I didn't, neither did my mother, and neither, I suspect, did most British and Irish women.
A colossus mistake.
From Robert Cecchio, Dunellen, New Jersey. The concept of multi-agent systems, that's MAS, or teams of large language models, and in particular the danger they may cause, was explored in Colossus, the Forbin Project, Article 2 Bots Are Better Than One, May 18th. In the film, released in 1970, America builds an artificial intelligence computer system called Colossus to try to eliminate human error in controlling nuclear weapons. And fortunately, Colossus, with increasing sentience, quickly determines that the Soviet Union has constructed its own AI-based system named Guardian. Colossus links to Guardian, and the resulting MAS expands its original programming of protecting the world from nuclear weapons to imposing its own computer-based logic on humanity. This makes the world safe from nuclear destruction, but also devoid of human oversight and freedom.
Music to perturb the soul.
From Yanhan Lu, Suzhou, China. Beethoven's Ninth Symphony has indeed been put to versatile use by a number of countries. Article, Something for Everyone, May 11th. What about its future use? In Stanley Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange, the Ninth thunders out during Alex's rebellion against constrictions of social tyranny, giving recurring significance to the glorification of a brotherhood of violence.
Comedy situation.
From Keith Carlson, Belmont, Massachusetts. The piece on TV humour, article No Laughing Matter, May 11th, brings to mind Stephen Colbert's summation of George W. Bush at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2006. With the president sitting just two seats away and admiring how constant he is, Mr. Colbert proclaimed that Mr. Bush believes the same thing on Wednesday that he believed on Monday, no matter what happened on Tuesday.
From Nunzio Tritto, Bari, Italy. If you think that comedy on TV isn't so funny, remember what Groucho Marx once said. I find television very educational. Every time someone switches it on, I go into another room and read a good book.